Take your Bible to the book of Ruth, if you will. I'm looking in verse number 16. I got my thought from a message Brother Ken Trivett preached. And his title was, I love titles. I'd like to somebody publish a book of titles and give me the reference to them. Get my mind turning, you know. His title was, What We're Going to Do With All This Barley. Sound like Ken Trivett. What are we going to do with all this barley? What to do with all the barley? I mean, yeah. And that was his thought. That was his message. I want to use some of his thoughts this morning as we look in the book of second chapter of the book of Ruth. And I'm interested in verse number 16. The Bible declares, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Let's look at that again. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. I think it's interesting how the Bible words this. The Bible didn't say on purpose. A lot of people will misquote that. Let them fall on purpose. It doesn't say handfuls on purpose. It says handfuls of purpose. And that little preposition right there has got my attention. Of. Handfuls of purpose. What was the purpose of those handfuls? Now you think about that. And the Bible says, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. Lord, we come into the pulpit, Lord, with mixed emotions. Our hearts have been sad. Our hearts have been glad. Lord, we've been from Dan to Beersheba as far as our emotions this week. Father, there's a lot of things that await us and we're excited about. And Lord, we're thrilled at the intervening hand of God, the providing hand. Lord, we're just so glad of all the things you've done. But Lord, help us, I pray now, to be careful with this scripture. And Lord, may we not say one thing it'd be contrary to the will and mind of God. And Lord, may we say everything that would be in the will of God and would be a help to somebody today. For it's in Christ's name I ask. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. We've all sang the chorus, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Remember that song? Count your many blessings and see what God hath done. Man, I tell you something, if you start counting your blessings, it's pretty amazing. I had somebody tell me one time, said, boy, you know, I get down to pray, but I feel like I prayed, and I look at my watch, and 3 minutes gone by, 5 minutes gone by. Preacher, how do you pray a long time? I said, well, you got to get your thankful list out. And I said, if you get that thankful list out and run through that thing, you'll be there a little while. Just start calling the thankful list. Just start telling God what you're thankful of. What, you know, of. And so, I don't know what she's singing when she come back to the house, but it may have been very well. Count you many blessings and see what God hath done. Now, you think about what I'm going to say here. You know about Ruth. You know the story of Ruth. Her and Naomi are basically homeless. They've come back to Bethlehem, Judah, and they've been in a far country. And as a result of that, they have lost everything. The men folk, everything is gone. Everything's been sold. And they are paupers. I mean, they are literally hungry. And so it was the law of the day that you could not glean the corners of the field. You had to leave the very outsides for the poor people to come in and glean it. It's interesting that God's welfare plan required work on the part of the recipient. You ever thought about that? I know that's a novel concept, but it did. But you know what? These folks wouldn't eat, taste, and pie in a pie factory. I mean, they wouldn't work, taste, and pie. They wouldn't work. I mean, there's plenty of work. I thought about this. I saw a homeless guy the other day, and he said, hungry, need money. I thought to myself, friend, if you would say, hungry, need work, $7 an hour, you don't have any people to pick that boy up. Why, he'd go out there and stand at that same red light every morning. Well, they'd work him to death. You can't get day labor. Matter of fact, he could have said $10 an hour and somebody would have snatched him up. Matter of fact, he probably could have said 20. He could have said, hungry, no job, too hard, $20 an hour. Those people probably would have hired him. What was it they told me that they start and pay at Chick-fil-A? Who told me that? $14 an hour flipping chicken flipping chicken. Well, you flip burgers. I guess you flip chickens. If you work in a chicken house, you flip them. That upward tug, we won't go there. It's never mind. Something different. Lose your appetite. This gal, Ruth, she had left home worrying. Thank God she come home worshiping. She'd walked in a field hoping for just a little. But she left that field happy with a lot. She started the day out with an empty stomach. She ended the day with a full soul. You've heard, and don't think I'm reviewing. I preach crumbs at the master's table. Syrophoenician woman, I preach that. But you got to remember who she was. She was a Gentile dog. In the type, she was a Gentile dog. And Christ used the term. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, I've been looking for faith like that. Wow. I've been looking for faith like that. It refreshed the Lord that she had faith like that. The problem is God's people. We're not dogs at the feet of Jesus. We got a seat at the table. Yet there's a bunch of Christians that say, boy, I just want the crumbs. I just want the crumbs. I say this, we got a lot of crummy Christians in this day. Take it as you will, I'm just telling you. There's a whole lot of crummy Christians are running around. It might be because that's all we're getting. But the problem is we ain't got to do. Listen, God's got a plate set for you. Mephibosheth, he had a plate at the table, my friend. He had a plate at the table. He was sitting at the king's table. People don't even know what this is. There's a generation that will. You know what Brill cream is. As a grand generation knows what Brill cream is. Some of you singing Precious Memories right now. Precious Memories. Had hair to put it in. Remember that? The day was that you had hairdressing. And men had hairdressing. And they'd had a tube of it, and you'd take it smelled good. They'd take a little bit and put on their comb and run it through the hair. It'd keep your hair. Men didn't used to use hairspray. I don't know how to tell that to everybody, but men didn't use hairspray. Matter of fact, you couldn't get a man. I guess there's some men, if they thought the Undertaker used hairspray on them, they'd roll over in their grave. You know what I'm saying? If they thought the Undertaker used hairspray on them, that wasn't the manly thing to do. The manly thing to do was use that Brill cream. And the slogan for Brill cream was, just a dabble do you. Remember that? Just a dabble do you. Every man carried a pocket comb. Everybody carried a pocket comb. And usually a handkerchief. And get that stuff out, put a little on your comb. Before you saw your girl, freshen it up, run that stuff through your hair. That good smell, put that good smell on your head. Get that hair slicked back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all in a good mood, aren't you? Even though I did ball you out, you're still in a good mood. I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that. Brother Mays Jackson, he had a head full of black curly hair when he was younger. He was preaching. He had preached over around somewhere around Columbia. And he's coming through South Georgia on the way back toward Atlanta. And he'd got him a little Plymouth convertible. So he had changed into a sports shirt. He's going home after the meeting, so he changed into a sports shirt. His 420 was completed. So he is hitting them little towns coming across South Georgia and went through a speed trap in one of the little old towns, just flying. There's a cop come up behind him, motorcycle cop. Pulled up behind him, blowed the whistle, and pulled up behind him, pulled him over. Got out and come up there, and he said, "Can I see your driver's license?" Well, Mays was a junior. Brother Mays, his daddy, Mays Jackson, run a filling station in Hendersonville and a wrecker service right there. I believe it was right there where the Church Street and Main Street come together. I believe it was that where it was? Was that where Mays Senior's, wasn't that his service station? I know where, I've been to their house, but I didn't, he's gone the time I come up and saw the station, but I think that's where it was. Well, Mays Senior run the service station, and Mays Junior was the preacher. Well, this cop come up, and he pulled that license, and he walked back and got his flashlight, and he looked at that license, walked back to his motorcycle, and he come back up there, and he said, "Son, if I didn't think so much of your daddy, I listened to him on the patrol car every day preach. If I didn't think so much of your daddy and what a great preacher he was, I'd run you in." He said, "You ought to be ashamed." He said, "You ought to be ashamed about here acting like that." He said, "Now you go home and you tell your daddy what a blessing I said he was to me. Now you slow that thing down." I said, "Brother Mace, what'd you tell him?" He said, I said, "Yes, sir." He was the one the whole time. But he wasn't about to tell that. Had that Brill cream, had that stuff slicked back. Hey, a lot of people, little dab will do. That's all it takes. It's a little dab. Can I tell you, that's not the Lord's plan, though. The Bible declares in Psalm 68, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." The Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 20, "Blessed be the Lord," Naomi said, "who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Can I tell you that Ruth had a barley blessing in the field of Boaz? And somebody said, "Well, preacher, what's the point? What do those handfuls on purpose do?" Well, that's what I want to deal with. I got just three thoughts that I want to look at. Can I tell you that God's hands full on purpose, those blessings from God, they enrich us. What do you mean, preacher? It was a red letter day in the life of Ruth. It was a red letter day in the life of Naomi. I mean, it was a day that she was never forget. Her day had been greatly, graciously, gloriously enriched. Proverbs 28:2, "A faithful man shall abound with blessing." Not only did she just get a little handful, but she had an abundance. She had been loaded with bliss, with benefits. Somebody said, well, I don't understand. How does that enrich us, preacher? Well, let me use a word that's not commonly used in this text. If we're going to apprehend a criminal, that means to go and get them and take hold of them. When we talk about apprehension, and in today's language, most of the time, we're thinking about, well, I'm apprehensive. I'm apprehensive. I'm worried about something. But apprehension carries with the idea of getting a hold of something. That's what I'm talking about. It increases our apprehension. In other words, when we see God do something we can get a hold of, it helps us. It helps us to learn how trustful God's word is. It helps us to learn how meaningful His ways are. It helps us to learn how powerful His work is. And God enriches us. He enriches our apprehension. In other words, that we're able to get a hold of something. Somebody said, "Preacher, we live by faith and not by sight." That's true. But isn't it good when God lets you rest your faith for a few minutes and let you get a hold of something you can get your hands on? Isn't it wonderful when you can blow the horn on something that you've prayed about? Isn't it wonderful that you get the car keys and crank it? Isn't it wonderful when you can reach and get a hold of it and say, "Look at what I got. I got the blessings of God. Touch it. It's real." Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. She learned something about God's providence. Bible says in book Ruth chapter 2 verse number 3, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was," look at that word hap, "her hap was to light on a field, a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Now listen to what I'm fixing to say. There's a word in the English language called happenstance. It's actually a word. And it means just whatever. Roll the dice. Whatever happens, happenstance. But can I tell you, this was not an instance of happenstance. This was an instance of providence. Hallelujah. Not happenstance, providence. Thank God. It just happened. Her lot just happened to be. It just happened to be. I mean, just happened. Hey, if you believe that, my friend, that this whole thing just happened to be, do you understand? Do you understand that there are no coincidences in the life of the child of God? The world might roll the dice and say, well, that just happened to be. The world might say, well, that just happened to be. I got good luck or I had bad luck. It's not the case, God's people. I can show you instances of God working in the lives of the lost. I can show you providence in lives of lost people in this Bible. I can show you that. But I'm not going to say that providence is involved in everything that goes on in the life of a lost man. But I can tell you this. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things, and all means all things work together for the good of them who love God, who them are the called according to His purpose. That right there rules out happenstance and the life of the child of God. Ain't no such thing. Don't believe a word of it. Didn't happen. It was God's providence. And that's what she learned. But she also learned something about God's provision. Look in verse 14. Look what the Bible says. And Boaz said unto her, chapter 2, at mealtime come thou hither. Now you got to remember, she's probably there with no breakfast. Probably didn't have no supper the night before. Think about what I'm saying. She's there working, hungry. And she didn't bring nothing for lunch. And at mealtime, Boaz said unto her, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. They had hominy. That's what they're eating. They had bread. So what there's eating. They had hominy corn, they had bread, they had vinegar, some type of sauce that's dipping it in. It don't sound too good, but when you're hungry, it sounds real good. Hallelujah. I mean, when you're real hungry, if you've ever fasted any length of time, ain't nothing like, I mean, when you're hungry, I was in Saudi Arabia during the Eid al-Mubarak, Ramadan, like Christmas Day, the final day of Christmas. Couldn't be served. I got run out of a restaurant. I was shooed out of a restaurant because I was a Gentile. I would defile their feast, and so they wouldn't let me eat. Man, I was hungry. So we walked over and found a taxi driver from India, and we asked him. He spoke some English. We asked him, said, I know it's Ramadan. Is there anything to eat in this whole town of Dhahran? And he said, yeah. He said, all of the people from India, they working today. I said, where? He said, oh, in the shops. I take you there. We got over there. I got out of that car, and I smelt something. Son, I believe somewhere back in my line is a little bit of blue tick somewhere. Maybe a little bit of red bone. I don't know what it is, plot or something. Maybe a little bit of tracking dog in there somewhere back in my lineage. Son, I smelt something, and I told my translator, I said, come on. We started down the alley. He said, this is dangerous. I said, come on. I turned away this way. I'm a sniffing. I'm a winding. Praise God, I come out into an open street, and there on a spit cooking was a whole big old fat laying hen, looked like, on a spit. And I walk up to the fella, and he didn't speak any English, and I said, one. He started to cut me off a leg. I said, no, one. And he started to cut me off a breast. I said, no, one. He took that whole chicken off that spit. I said, I had two cold Pepsi Colas. I sat there and eat the gristle. I eat that chicken, son. You ain't never seen anybody clean the bones on one. And I'm not on the bones just for the flavor. I'm telling you, I eat that chicken. I've never had roast chicken like it before or since. You know why? Because I was starving. You know why God's people ain't hungry for anything to do with God? It's because they're filling up on junk. It's because they're full of other stuff. Can I tell you, when you're hungry, when you're starving, praise God. Hey, parched corns taste good. Vinegar and bread tastes good when you ain't got nothing. Especially at the hand of Boaz. Hallelujah. And she learned something about God's provision. The Bible says, and was sufficed and left. Can I tell you, by lunch she had her belly full. Can I tell you, that's the way God works. But hey, the evening ain't over. The Bible says in verse number 17, so she gleaned in the field unto even and beat out all that she gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Can I tell you, she had her belly full by dinner. But praise God, by supper, she had a bundle full. And I'm not talking about raw. The Bible says she beat it out. What does that mean? Well, it comes in a husk. She threshed it. I'm talking about nothing but the pure kernel, nothing but the pure grain. And the Bible said she had an ephah full. You know how that much is? It was more than a woman could carry. But she toted her anyway. In other words, can I say it this way? She was overloaded with the blessings of God. Can I tell you that the Lord, the Lord taught her something that day. The Lord enriched Ruth, and the Lord enriched Naomi that day by the blessings, by those handfuls on purpose. Her great-grandson David, years later, would pen Psalm 37:25. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah.